Deutsche Welle, Africa Link.
It's Thursday, August the 20th. A very good morning to you and welcome to this edition of Africa Link. I'm Mark Caldwell in Bonn, Germany. Coming up, an appeals panel at the International Criminal Court says trial judges will have to reconsider whether Kenya cooperated properly with prosecutors in the case of President Uhuru Kenyatta. We look at the implications.
What we are seeing now is the case will now have to be reinvestigated afresh by the trial chamber. In a nutshell, this may trigger more in the case against Kenya's President Uhuru Muigai Kenyatta.
Nigeria's military denies reports that dozens of people drowned or were shot dead while fleeing Boko Haram gunmen. But local villagers are sticking to their version of events.
The attack will better be ascertained by the people that lives around the village. They are the one on the ground. They are the one that's supposed to say the true situation, not the military. They may not be there when the attack took place.
Stay tuned to Africa Link.
Top story.
We begin in The Hague, where the International Criminal Court has ruled that trial judges should review a case in which Kenya is accused of blocking investigations. Prosecutors had argued that the Kenyan government had withheld key evidence linked to charges against President Uhuru Kenyatta, which were later dropped. Kenyatta was accused of crimes against humanity in connection with the 2007-2008 post-election violence. I asked Mark Ellis, Executive Director of the International Bar Association in London, how the trial judges were likely to proceed.
Well, I think they're going to have to reconsider what I always thought was a very strong case by the prosecutor, who argued that Kenya simply did not cooperate and was not cooperating with her office, and therefore it made it absolutely impossible for her to pursue this case against Kenyatta. Now, there were other problems with her case, primarily having to do with witnesses who were dismissed because they found to be somewhat dubious or they were fearful of testifying. But the main reason was the prosecutor's argument that Kenya and the government simply did not cooperate.
I understand there is a specific allegation here made by prosecutors that Kenya failed to comply with a request for President Kenyatta's banking records back in April 2012. Is that correct?
That is correct. And the prosecutor had always maintained that that information was very important and it was directly relevant to the prosecution's allegation that Kenyatta helped fund the violence following the election in Kenya in 2007.
Supposing the trial judges decide, reversing their original decision, that Kenya did not cooperate properly with prosecutors, what could happen then?
A decision of non-cooperation then could be referred at least to the Assembly of State Parties. And that's important because it would then allow at least an opportunity for the Assembly of State Parties to pressure Kenya to cooperate with the court. However, having said that, the history of these types of non-cooperation referrals to the Assembly of State Parties and to even the UN Security Council has really been very minimal. They simply have not had any impact.
You refer there to non-cooperation. Is that the same thing as withholding evidence?
Correct. It would be a decision that Kenya has sufficiently failed to cooperate with the court and with the request from the prosecutor. And that would certainly include failure to provide, at least in the eyes of the prosecutor, essential information, in this case, banking information.
President Kenyatta maintains that he is innocent. It is, from what you've been saying, highly unlikely then that a retrial will take place.
I think it is highly unlikely unless the international community decides to put greater pressure on Kenya to cooperate with the court. This is not to say that Mr. Kenyatta is guilty. He has the right to be heard in front of a court, and he will argue that the evidence is simply not there. But the fact remains that there is a responsibility on behalf of Kenya to cooperate with the court. And this is what the issue is about right now.
Mark Ellis. More than 1,000 people died in Kenya's worst wave of violence after the disputed 2007 election. The topic is still extremely sensitive in Kenya. As James Shimanyula reports, many citizens have given a cautious reception to the news from The Hague.
The ICC appeals chamber rejected a proposal to refer Kenya to the Assembly of States Parties for non-compliance with the court in the case against President Uhuru Kenyatta. However, the judges unanimously agreed to refer the matter back to the trial chamber. 32-year-old Nairobi lawyer Franklin Kiprotich explains in a layman's language what the appeals chamber's order means.
What we are seeing now is the case will now have to be reinvestigated afresh by the trial chamber. This then will mean that there is a correlation between the recently filed application by the victim's lawyer to have the case reinvestigated on grounds that 2008 post-election violence victims were not satisfied. So in a nutshell, this may trigger more in the case against Kenya's President Uhuru Muigai Kenyatta.
But Kenyan legislator Eseli Simiyu characterizes the appeals chamber order as miscarriage of justice.
If they are referring it back to the trial chamber, meaning to start another trial of President Uhuru, then I would call that a miscarriage of justice. Because when sued, she did not appeal about her withdrawing the case. She had withdrawn it. She appealed saying that the state, Kenya state, did not cooperate and they were supposed to be referred to the state parties, the parties that are part of ICC. It did not mean they go back to the trial chamber again. The trial ended for lack of evidence. So going back there, I don't understand the use of it.
Commenting on the ICC order, a cross-section of Kenyans expressed the following remarks.
As far as justice is concerned, I think it's good to revive this case. Reviving it will help people to honor the rule of law.
Kenyans feel like they are being betrayed by that ICC. So they should bring back that case because there are some people who are still displaced from their home. And if they will bring it back, the government will look for how to sort out the people.
If there is enough evidence, they can reinstate the case. If there is no evidence, they can just leave it.
People who suffered were Kenyans. I still think we all are Kenyans. Justice must be done.
And that report was compiled by James Shimanyula in Nairobi.
Africa Link, every weekday on DW Deutsche Welle.
Did a recent attack by Boko Haram lead to the deaths of more than 150 people? That depends who you ask. Locals from Kukuagari, a remote village in northeastern Nigeria, told the AFP news agency that dozens of residents drowned or were shot dead by the Islamist gunman on Thursday of last week. However, a Nigerian defence official speaking on a private TV channel has dismissed the reports as untrue. Al-Amin Muhammad has more details from Gombe.
The same militants also attacked the village last month. They killed people and set half of the village ablaze, a survivor said. He added that the attack was a reprisal for the killing of two Boko Haram militants who sneaked into the village but were killed by hunters after a failed mission. News of the attack took 5 days to emerge because the militants have destroyed telecommunication masts around the village, which is located 50 kilometers from Yobe State capital Damaturu. But on Wednesday, the Nigerian Army issued statement saying the report cannot be substantiated. Colonel Sani Kukasheka Osman is the acting director, Army Public Relations.
There were stories going around the media of allegation of about 150 people were either allegedly massacred or drowned in the process of escaping from the terrorist Elm Slide. And honestly, that story is not correct. Possibly what they were referring to, it was the ambush stage by our troops in that same village against Boko Haram, in which 5 Boko Haram terrorists were killed.
However, most of Nigerians I spoke to on the streets do not believe this version. They express shock that despite the huge success recorded in fighting Boko Haram as claimed by the Nigerian military, the insurgents are still carrying out attacks.
My name is Jedida Solomon. People are beginning to gain relief seeing that the Nigerian military is becoming more vibrant especially in terms of curbing the insurgency. But suddenly, this attack just came. I think this is very disheartening.
My name is Hamza Omar Osman. The attack will better be ascertained by the people that lives around the village. They are the one on the ground. They are the one that are supposed to say the true situation, not the military. The military are there to salvage. They are there to protect. They may not be there when the attack took place.
The people are claiming Boko Haram attacked that village while the military is saying no. So the issue now cannot be really interpreted. One cannot really understand who is right and who is wrong.
And that report was compiled by Al-Mahin Mohammed in Gambe. To South Africa now, where the early release of Oscar Pistorius has suddenly been put on hold by justice authorities 2 days before he was to leave prison and serve the remainder of his term under house arrest. Pistorius, the double amputee Olympic runner, is serving 5 years for culpable homicide. He shot his girlfriend, Reva Steenkamp, through a closed door in 2013. Our correspondent in Johannesburg, Tuzo Kumalo, explains why the parole board's decision to release him was overturned.
Spokesperson Ntunzimaka says the decision was taken after Correctional Services Minister Masuta discovered that the parole board's decision to release Pistorius on parole was taken on the 5th of June.
An offender sentenced in terms of the Section 276 of the Criminal Procedure Act, as Mr. Pistorius was, must serve at least 1/6 of that sentence before he can be considered to be placed under correctional supervision. But in this instance, the decision, the consideration thereof was done on the 5th of June when he was not eligible for consideration for placement on parole.
The intended early release had already caused a national outcry. Tilivali Nechifefe from Limpopo province described it as a miscarriage of justice.
It's not fair for Oscar Pistorius to get out now. I feel like equality is not being practiced because this guy killed someone. So we should stay in prison for life, not for 10 months and less than 10 months now. I say no, he should stay in jail.
Gender groups had also criticized Pistorius's intended release. Mbuyiselo Botha, spokesperson for the Sonke Gender Justice Network, likened it to spitting on River's grave.
It sent a very sad message, and that message is that when you are rich, when you are white, when you are privileged, you have the world to do things that you want to do.
However, legal expert advocate Gabriel Shumba said early release is provided for in the country's laws.
If, for example, you have shown during your incarceration good behavior, you can actually be allowed out to serve the rest of your portion out of jail. Parole does not necessarily mean that he's off the hook. So the conditions might actually be that he could not travel a certain distance from his home. He could not interact with certain people.
But Nechifefe still insisted that whatever conditions are imposed, being able to sit at home does not match the crime which Pistorius committed.
No, you should stay with other prisoners in prison. I stay in my room forever, so which means I'm already house arrested, but I don't feel any pain. That is not even a punishment.
The original verdict of culpable homicide could still be overturned by the Supreme Court of Appeal and Pistorius found guilty of murder, which would mean a longer prison sentence.
Tuzo Kumalo reporting. And now it's time to join a group of African teenagers battling with life's problems in this week's instalment of The Crossroads Generation.
Deutsche Welle, learning by ear. Listen up, shape your future.
Hello there. You're tuned in to the fourth season of Crossroads Generation, facing new challenges.
We're standing at the crossroads. We're looking for a way. Crossroads Generation, our future starts today.
This is episode 18. Marcy and Nikki have been married for some time now. They've decided to have a baby together after learning that it is possible for them to have a healthy child, even though Nikki is HIV positive. Nikki and Marcy have been keeping his status secret. Even Nikki's parents don't know about it. The relationship with them is a difficult one because Nikki's mother doesn't like Marcy. And as if all this weren't enough of a burden, Marcy recently got some unwelcome news from her good friend Tina.
I hope you won't take this badly, but Dan and I are, you know...
Dan? Yes.
Marcy did take the news badly. She was in love with Dan once while they were still at school, but their relationship ended painfully. In today's episode, we'll also meet a couple of villains from the old days who've been keeping a low profile. One of them is Mukaraba, a former politician. He used to be corrupt and involved in illegal activities like child trafficking and prostitution. Now he's in the timber business, but he's still up to no good. The other bad guy who reappears is Kanyama, Dan's father. Kanyama used to own a gold mine in the neighboring country, Laboria, but he's not allowed to work anymore since he was convicted of using child laborers. Kanyama was trying to convince his son Dan, who now lives in Kisimba, to come home and take over the family business.
Dad, not this again. Come on, just leave me alone, all right? I am running my own business over here and I am doing well.
Now Kanyama, that shrewd businessman, has just turned up at Kisimba Airport. Who is he meeting there? Let's find out in today's episode, Signs of Things to Come.
Moses! Moses Mukaraba. So glad to see you, my old friend.
So, Peter Kanyama. You made it, my friend.
I made it.
I didn't think you would. So many flights have been cancelled because of the bad weather. Come on. Get in the car. We have to get going before it starts pouring with rain again. So, Kanyama, what brings you to Kisimba? I thought we agreed years ago that we should never be seen to be working together.
That was when you still had political ambitions and I still controlled a business empire. Times have changed. I think it's time for our plan B.
Right. Sometimes I can't help but laugh at our governments. They think they can stop us. Yet, over the years, no one has ever suspected the real masterminds behind all the poaching and logging.
Kanyama and Mukaraba. That was a great idea we came up with all those years ago, just after we left university. Register another business, one nobody knew about. Keep it on the side for a rainy day. Well, that rainy day is certainly here. You're out of politics and my other business has been shut down. Time to check our profits.
And what profits they are. Oh my. The timber business is very profitable, my friend.
But you know, it's not the only reason I'm here.
Oh, it must be your prodigal son, Dan. Is it? He's still here in Kisimba, isn't he?
Why are you asking me that? I asked you to keep an eye on him.
And I am. I have a man watching him.
Good.
But tell me, my friend, why do you insist on imposing your will on him?
Because he's my son, and he's the only one I can trust. I mean, I have millions tied up in my frozen bank accounts, and since my wife and I are not allowed to run a business, I can't access that money or my assets. Dan's the only one who can. I need him to get me my money.
Ah, I see.
Congratulations, Marcy. You're pregnant.
Are you serious, Dr. Florence? It worked? So soon?
Yes, it did. Even better, your blood tests show no sign of any infection. The sickness and nausea you've been feeling are just ordinary symptoms of pregnancy. You're a perfectly healthy pregnant woman. And your baby's fine as well.
Oh my God! Thank you, Doctor. This is just wonderful. I can't wait to tell my husband. He'll be so happy. I have to go and tell him straight away. Thank you, Doctor. Goodbye. Thank you.
Hey, wait! I don't know, these young people. They're so impatient.
So long since we last ate together.
Feels good, doesn't it? Hey, Nikime-san?
Mm-hmm.
You should visit us more often. Your mom and I miss you since you got married. Isn't that so, Janet? Well, since nobody wants to talk, I guess I'll enjoy my meal in silence.
I'm going upstairs.
Janet, your son finally visits and you can't even spare a moment to sit and eat with him?
It's okay, Dad. I'll leave.
No, you're not going anywhere. This is your home too, and I will not...
Dad,
he doesn't have to leave, Jumbe. I will.
Why are you behaving like a child, Janet?
Dad!
What, Nikki? I'm talking to your mother.
I'm HIV positive.
I'm sorry. What?
What did you say, Nikki?
You heard me. I'm HIV positive.
I knew it! I knew there was something wrong with that Trump Mercy. I told you. I told you, Nikki. Why didn't you listen to me?
Calm down, Janet.
Don't tell me what to do, Jumbe. I'm done listening to you. She's infected him with HIV. HIV, Jumbe. Do you know what that means?
Mom, Mercy's not the one to blame.
Oh, yes, she is. And don't try to convince me otherwise.
Janet, please, let's...
Just shut up, will you, Jumbe? Just shut
Janet,
up.
Janet, wait. Where are you going? It's raining out there, Janet.
Where is Dan? He should be here by now. Then again, the weather is terrible.
Tina.
Oh, Dan. Oh, my God. You're soaked.
It's terrible out there. The streets are all flooded and the traffic is a nightmare.
Poor you. You're cold. You need a drink. Coffee, maybe?
Yeah, that would be great.
Waiter.
Yes?
2 cups of hot coffee, please.
Okay.
Well, on the phone you said... You had to know something. What is this thing that couldn't wait until the rain stopped?
Here you go.
Thank you.
So?
I told Mercy about us.
Oh. And?
She took it badly.
Badly? How do you mean?
Well, she just took off and now she's not answering my calls. So what I want to know is there still something going on between the two of you?
How can you even ask me that? Mercy's a married woman.
I know. The way she reacted and everything, I have to know. She's my only real friend. I don't want to hurt her.
Tina, Mercy and I have a history. But that's all it is. History.
I just don't want to lose a friend.
Tina, listen. I really like you. I want to be with you. And Mercy will come round. You will see.
Hey, isn't that Tandika on the TV? Excuse me?
Yes?
Could you please turn up the volume?
We are hearing that the Tandika Bridge has collapsed.
Huh?
The Tandika River broke its banks today after weeks of heavy rain.
Hey.
At least 4 people are reported to have been injured.
Oh my God.
Police are urging everyone to stay away until the flood waters subside.
Great.
Reports from the meteorological...
Looks like we are stuck here.
I'm supposed to be at work at the radio station by 8.
And there we leave Dan and Tina trapped in the restaurant with the floodwaters rising. Don't miss what Nikki has to tell you in his video blog. Just click dw.de/LBE to watch it. Until next time, bye-bye.
Our main stories here on Africa Link before we say goodbye. An appeals panel at the International Criminal Court has said that trial judges will have to reconsider whether Kenya cooperated properly with prosecutors in the case of President Uhuru Kenyatta. A Nigerian defence official has dismissed as untrue reports that more than 150 people were killed by Boko Haram. And the early release from prison of Oscar Pistorius has been put on hold by South Africa's justice authorities. Do let us know what you think of our programme, either in a text message to country code 49 160 957 595 10, an email to feedback.africa@dw.com, or a letter to Africa Link, DW 53110, Bonn, Germany. From me, Mark Caldwell, thank you for listening, and bye now.